Hey there, this is Fish and Frank, and we got Captain Ronnie Jones on the line. You're going to tell us all about fish and fishing and what's good and all the other good stuff. Good morning, Ronnie. What's up, buddy?
How you doing this morning, Frank?
Oh, peachy, dandy, and lots of vegetable adjectives. Hopefully your day is going well.
Yeah, my day is going good, man. Going good.
So, you on the water today, or?
Actually, today I'm doing a little bit of boat work. I kind of took the day off and changed the oil in my motor and losing it and all that kind of stuff. I don't have a day off between now and the middle of June. Not a full day. I've got some partial days, but I'm just trying to get some of this stuff done before I hit this last push.
Well, it's better to take a day and do preventative maintenance than be broke down for a week, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, what's the fishing been like over the last week?
I've had a good week. We caught, after this blow stopped, I think, was that like Tuesday, maybe?
Yeah.
Anyway, after that, the snook have been biting really well, catching a lot of snook. And my day on Thursday was phenomenal. We had just a ton of snook. We got on a school of redfish, a bunch of redfish. I haven't been catching many trout, and I got on a place the other day on Thursday that was a really good trout bite. So,
what do you think?
It was a good day Thursday.
What's that? I said, what do you think is up with? I mean, we went for months wondering what happened with the trout fishing. You know, is this going to be the year of no trout? To they should be scattered all over the place, and they're just. This is some of the best trout fishing we've had, you know, all season.
I really don't know, Frank. It's been, to be honest with you, a trout bite for me has been tough. I mean, Thursday was the best day of trout fishing I've had in a long time. And we didn't kill them, but we caught a few. But
that's
I have been
saying.
To places that we produce trout every year. I mean, I've got a couple places, usually in March and April, where I can take you to and we'll catch, I mean, just a ton of them that are all oversized. You know, and I have one over 20, and shoot, we'll catch three or four of those. I mean, that's all you keep, and we'll catch another 20 that are that size, up to 28 inches. But this year is the first year in the last three that hasn't happened for me.
Yeah, like I say, I mean, to be quite honest, I know how good you are on the water, and that's what I just can't figure out about this year. This year has broken every rule I've ever understood about fishing. And
it damn sure has with the trout. I'll give you that, Frank, because I'm talking to my dad and I'm talking to several other people. I have a few places we pull a few trout, but I don't have anything that I can guarantee you we're going to go catch unless a trout.
No.
I just don't have it. I don't know what's going on with the trout. And usually, like you say, on the flats, you get them and you just make a drift and throw in some popper corks, and eventually you'll catch a few. And I've done a bunch of flat. I'm not catching anything on the trout.
Yeah, I don't get it. But, you know, on the opposite side of it, one of the best snook seasons we've ever had.
I'm
talking season, I usually talk November through June. That's what I classify season. And this is one of the best snook seasons I can remember. For oversized fish, numbers of fish. It's just been amazing on the snook. And you've been experiencing that.
Oh, yeah. We've been catching, just a ton of juveniles. And average a day, I'd say, is probably three that are over 30. It's been my average. And we've caught some up around 42, 46. I mean, but most of the days, my average has been about three that are over 30 inches.
And
that's been great. I haven't done that in 5 or 6 years.
And the overall numbers, I mean, to get those three over 30, you're catching 25, 30 snook.
No, we're catching 50 or 60.
50 or 60?
Yes.
Okay, I stand corrected.
we've had some days. My Thursday trip, I had a 6 hour in the morning and a 4 hour in the afternoon. And I can promise you, between the two trips, we landed. I took off, not what we had bite, but I took off 100 plus fish.
Wow.
Snook, mostly snook. We caught a few redfish. We got on a little bite of redfish, and I don't know how many they caught. It was a pretty good amount. And they finally caught their limit, and it wasn't a wide open bite. It was a slow bite, but you could see them. They kept coming in, and every now and then we took one up. And the guy finally is like, well, we're throwing up redfish, you think we can catch a snook? I said, yeah, I'm pretty sure we can catch a snook. So we left it there and went. After that, it was, I mean, just about every cast.
Now, here's a question. Are you finding the redfish more out in the open or more under the trees?
I haven't found any redfish under the trees. All the redfish that I've been catching, and it's been the, be honest with you, Frank, it's probably been the worst spring for redfish that I've seen, too. Trout and redfish have been tough. I'm catching a ton of snook. I mean, just about everywhere you go, snook. But the trout and redfish have been tough to come by. I mean, I'm catching every now and then I'll hear a place, and we'll catch a bunch of them, but they're not anything underneath the bushes. It's all been out in wide open spaces, on flats or on a sandbar or something like that.
Right. Now, you were catching the redfish. Did you go to the trees for the snook, or you go to a different spot out in the open?
A little bit of both. We did a couple spots that were up close to the bushes that we caught the snook, and a couple places that were wide open. There wasn't a tree or an island anywhere within 300 yards.
Hmm. I was just kind of wondering if there was a pattern. And have you thrown any artificials lately?
I have not. The artificial thing for me is, I don't have a lot of people that are good enough to fish artificials. So I just don't do them much. Every now and then I will, but I have not.
If somebody asks, you'll do it. But as a general rule, you know, most people are, they're coming out on a charter to relax, enjoy themselves, catch fish, and...
Well, I had a guy on the boat on Monday and Tuesday, and he loves to throw a fly rod. And he would throw that fly rod for a while, and the other guys were all catching fish, and he didn't catch one. So then he put that fly rod down and threw out a bait, and he'd catch one. And then he'd go back to the fly rod. And not to say that he didn't catch anything, he did. But his bite was about a quarter of what the other guys were doing.
Yeah. And so, you know, like I say, it goes by what the customer wants to do. If you just want to relax and catch a bunch of fish, use bait. If you want to get into the whole, you know.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. That, well,
either
that,
way it goes.
That was his deal. He caught a pile of fish. And then late in the afternoon, he didn't do anything but throw his fly rod. And I'm tickled with that, if that's what he wants to do. And he did catch some fish on it, and he was tickled to death.
All right.
But after he'd already caught a pile with a spinning outfit.
Now, one of the, those are the fly fishermen I like, who aren't so hung up on one way of doing something that they miss the overall experience, where they'll do a little bit of everything to kind of get the great experience and drop back into what they really want to do, catch their fish, and but it keeps the day going more when you vary it up a little bit. But,
oh, yeah.
Now, have you been doing any tarpon trips?
I did a tarpon trip yesterday, and the bite was on early in the morning, just inside the pass. They were, I don't know, my guys ended up, one of them showed up late, supposed to be there at 7 and didn't show up till 7:45. And by the time I got there, the bite had pretty well quit.
Oh, it's an early bite.
Down there, yeah, we fooled around down there for probably a couple hours, and we were, I mean, you could see the tarpon, but we saw maybe out of 30, 40 boats, we might have seen four boats hooked up. And I said, guys, let's go take a ride, and we'll look around. It slipped calm, that wind had played right out, and we rode up the bay, and I rode all the holes up in the harbor, and I did not find any tarpon. But I said, how about let's go by and try a couple of little spots that have some wrecks and some of these artificial reefs. Let's go try that. So we did that, and the first one we stopped on, we had about three big cobia come by, and we hooked up two of the three, and one of them was like 36 inches, I guess.
That's a nice fish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they were tickled with it. So we kept him. They wanted to eat one. So we kept him, and we caught probably four or five Jewfish, and we left that wreck and went to another one, and we caught two or three more little cobia, not any size to them. And we caught a couple of grouper, wax, and we caught one Jewfish. Got broken off a couple of times, and that was pretty well my day. They wanted to go eat some lunch, so we went and ate lunch at the Lazy Flamingo, and
Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the one over in Boquilla, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's a great restaurant there.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Nice atmosphere and good food.
Yeah, I've eaten there several times. One of my suppliers used to do their tackle show at one of the condos there, and he always used to take us over there for lunch. You know, that's what they do when you spend tens of thousands of dollars on stupid fishing tackle. They buy you lunch. Might have nice of them. Yeah. So, but all in all, what's your forecast for the next few days? Good, bad, indifferent?
I was looking at the weather this morning, and like I said, I have the day off, but I'm looking at the weather, and they're calling for scattered showers the next few days. And I'm back doing the flats thing. I don't have a tarpon trip, I think, for about 4 or 5 days.
Well, you're lucky one, because you can go find a place to hide. The guys trying to chase those tarpon are going to get their butts kicked out in the middle of the harbor.
Yeah, you know, tarpon fishing, when it's on, it's awesome. But when it's not, it's like watching paint dry.
Yeah, but I'm finding more the captains. I mean, you hang around with a group of guys that all have basically that same philosophy. Okay, you really want to catch a tarpon, and we're going to try for that, but when it doesn't pan out, like you did, you went over, you caught cobia and goliath grouper and gag grouper, and you finish out your trip with a lot of fun and exciting fish and having a good time. And one of the reasons you guys are so popular, you know, you're booked all the time because you're smart enough to know when this just isn't going to work. When
you're down there around that hill and all those tarpon, you can see them. I mean, there's just acres of them, and you don't see, out of 30, 40 boats, you don't see a boat hooked up. It's time to go do something else. So that will kick on a little bit, and I've been there when it happened. But it's time to go try something else, and you got to kind of roll with the punches.
But that's one of the things that makes you a very good captain, is the ability to go, okay, you know what, guys? We can always come back to this, but let's go have some fun for a while.
And that's what I told them.
And that's, you know, the sign of a good captain. And it's going to be weather-dependent in your eyes how the tarpon bite's going to be. But as far as you're concerned, you don't think any of this is going to affect that snook bite?
I don't think so, Frank. To be honest with you, snook bite has gotten going from the last month or so was wide open. I mean, actually, from probably about the 10th of March all the way through April was just wide open. And now it's gotten tight. I mean, I've got some places. I've got probably 6-7 places that I'm really producing a lot of fish. But they're not secret spots. If I can get to one of them when the tide is right, and sometimes there will be, you know, people that don't know what they're doing will just be in my way. Sometimes there will be people that know what they're doing, but I have a bunch of people that they'll see me catch a fish there, and, you know, next week they're out there and they're in a pontoon boat, and they're not at the right tide or anything, but they go there and they park on it. But sometimes I can't get their spots.
I have a spot in Bull Bay, and it's against one of the walls there, and there's a trough that runs down. It starts out with nothing and builds itself into a trough and runs all along that wall. And if nobody's parked over the top of the trough, if everybody's outside of it, everybody up and down the line can catch a snook every 3 to 6 minutes. Because they cruise all the way up and down that. But as soon as somebody pulls the boat over the top of that trough, it breaks the flow of the fish, and nobody catches anything. And I've gone over and called a guy and said, hey, pull your anchor, come about 40 feet out, and cast into where you're at now, and allow everybody to catch some fish. And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever, and I just leave and go somewhere else. But it's surprising people don't understand placing the boat in the correct place. If you're over the top of the fish where those fish are laying, you've shut it off. You've put up the red light, it's all done, stop, and no matter what anybody else does around you, it's not going to work. And it's hard for them to realize 10 feet, 5 feet, 30 feet makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see that all the time. People seem to catch a fish in a place, and I'll come back the next day, and they will be there fishing in the spot, but they'll be too close. And the tide is too low, and they'll be sitting in, you know, 30 feet from what I would say, or 50 feet.
Yeah,
it makes all the difference.
I was doing something with a guy, and, you know, we're working on this project. And he said, well, I said, well, we got to get this and this. And he said, well, that's just details. You know, everything. I said, everything is about the details. The little details make all the difference in the world. It's not, you know, everybody, you know, you're all out there just fishing. The little differences of knowing where to put the boat, where to cast, and how to do it, that's the difference between fish and no fish. That's plain and simple.
You're right about that. I mean, I don't give a damn. They're just little tiny things. Just a move or a change. I had to place last week where the water was real clear and a lot of snook in there. I could see them. And they would hit the chum baits, but they would not bite a hook. Usually, 90% of the time, I'm fishing with 40-pound test. Fluorocarbon for my leaders.
Right.
And I dropped down to 20. And when I dropped to 20, I started getting bit. And I don't like to fish with 20 because you have to retie every snook you catch, whether it's small or big, it doesn't make any difference. Every one you catch, you got to retie that hook. Then you'll chafe that leader.
Absolutely. You don't know if you got a 20-pound test leader and you see chafing on it, do you have 2 pounds of strength left or 18 pounds of strength left? You have no way to know. You have to retie.
And sure enough, if you don't retie it and let them throw back out, they'll hook up one that's a 40-inch fish. You'll fight it for a few minutes and then be done.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap it up. What's your best advice for the average angler out there? Somebody who's just going to go out, tomorrow is Sunday, and what's your best advice for somebody going out Sunday? Is there ladyfish, mackerel, snook, any place where, or any advice you have for them, what they can do to have
some
fun?
I've been catching a few fish out in the deep water, the mackerel and stuff. They're just starting to tune back up again. We had that blow, and it lasted about 10 days, and that kind of got pretty tight. When that wind's blowing, I don't do much with the mackerel and ladyfish, bluefish, all that stuff. But the bite day before yesterday, it was decent. Wasn't great, but it was decent. And I think that'll get better now that we've got these light winds. I think that'll all pick up everything offshore. I think the tarpon, ladyfish, bluefish, all that stuff will pick up. And the snook bite is kind of that's kind of opposite about it. You want a little bit of wind to catch the snook. When it's slick calm, it's a tough bite for me.
Well, the slick calm is like them looking through the windshield of a car on a clear day. They see too much and they don't want to bite. When you get a little bit of chop on the water, it's like looking through your windshield with rain and no windshield wipers. You know, and so it breaks up your image, makes them harder for them to know you're there. It covers, masks the noise, it masks them seeing you. It definitely helps a lot. But I've been hearing a lot about the 20-foot, the Pirate Harbor hole, 20-foot hole, middle hole, all through for far as bunch of a fish to go, just to go out and have some fun and catch some stuff. But
I was there a few days ago, and there's a lot of bait. So I'm sure there's mackerel, and I was out there, hit two places yesterday, structures. Cobia are thick, so that'd be a good deal.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you get going. I know you're doing repairs. I don't want to tie up your day. I know what it's like when you get calls from these obnoxious idiots trying to fill in time on the radio shows. But Captain Ronnie Jones, if you're coming to Florida and you want to go out with a guy who's just nice as he can be and lots of fun, give Ronnie a call. He is one of the good guys. And this is Fish and Frank in the chair. Captain Ronnie Jones on the phone. Say goodbye, Ronnie.
Thanks, Frank. You have a great day.
All right, just click Ronnie's picture. It's the logo right there with the blue tarpon on it, white. It says Shaw Harbor on it. Click that picture, take you right to his website. Fish and Frank saying thank you for listening.